from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. 5 DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We're live at Specs in Dallas off of North Central Expressway. And coming up in the Expressway and the Lunch Rush, there will be not one, not two, but three Specs gift cards to be given away. There's also a whiskey tasting going on here.
You got to swing through in here.
Exactly.
To get these, though.
In addition to the humidor, all the spirits available. They have a deli here. They have amazing desserts. There are a lot of reasons. And we're here.
Cheeses, too.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of cheeses over there.
Woo! Lots of cheeses.
You all need to charcuterie it up. They got you.
I'm going to go check out the cheeses. In the meantime,
the cheeses crust.
Yes. I still think that's a viable name for a pizza place. All right. So we've talked about this a lot off air.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because of what we hear from Chris Young. Maybe it's because of what we hear from Bruce Bochy and a whole bunch of other things. Do you feel like Ray Davis and maybe the Rangers as a whole have to sell why CY and Bochy should want to return for 2025 and beyond? And I want to add to this, Mike, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here. I think this will become more apparent if the Rangers did have like a salary dump before the end of the month. Now we're coming up on the end of the month, but
right. If
they did a salary dump that they just got rid of all these players so they could save some money, then I feel like it becomes even more important to try to sell, like, we need you to stay.
At this time next week, we will know if they are trying to save, as Jared Sandler said yesterday, up to $12 million.
Right.
I hope not, because if I'm Bruce Bochy and I'm Chris Young, I would struggle in those jobs, especially because Bruce Bochy, as far as I know, is going to manage one more year and then retire from baseball for good. I hope not. I hope he signs like another extension for another year or two at the Texas Rangers. I'd love to keep him around. But Bochy came back and he saw something we didn't see.
Yes.
He saw a team that could contend, and we didn't. And we thought he was insane. And then he went on and won the World Series in his first year. But if they go into a position where they're saying, hey, we're not really going to try to contend. If we do, we do. I've seen that show before. It's called 2017 through 2020. Didn't go well. Where you're kind of in this middle of, we're not going for it, but we're also not rebuilding. And you're like, well, what are we doing? Like, we're just going to kind of try to win 81 games and cheer that on? I don't know. I don't know the future of the Texas Rangers, but we'll know a week from now. But Chris Young is a free agent.
Yes.
And I guess I'll say this before I go further. I thought what was key, if you listened to us yesterday, if you didn't listen to it, I know it's on YouTube. It's up on YouTube. You can listen to us interview Bruce Bochy yesterday. I thought throughout that interview, Bruce Bochy talked about next year.
He did.
Not like he's giving up on this year, but he mentioned a lot of things about what they can do different. And if he wasn't talking like that, sometimes we read into it and go, oh, he's thinking about not coming back, or he's not coming back. Bruce Bochy yesterday in that interview made me confident that he is coming back for next year. But I know things can change in the next 6 weeks to 3 months if behind the scenes things don't go the way that he wants to, because he doesn't need this anymore. He has all the money he needs. He's
all going the into legacy a, he needs.
Yeah, he's going into the Hall of Fame, all of those things.
Yeah, but he only has the one championship.
He has four.
With the Rangers, Kevin. Yeah. He needs four here three here.
I think Corey, I just wonder. I don't know. I don't know Ray Davis very well. I've met him. Seems like a very nice guy. I don't know all the owners that are kind of combined, but Ray's the main guy. Are they thinking about letting Chris Young go and going in another direction, or are they just waiting till the season ends? Does Chris Young want to come back no matter what? I don't know these answers. I'm throwing this out as questions to you, Corey, because I honestly don't know. In a weird way, I don't know the future of the general manager of the Texas Rangers. I think it's Chris Young. I want it to be Chris Young.
Yeah, whenever I hear Chris Young talk, and we hear Mungie Bag every week, is it 420 whenever he hops on with them?
Yes.
Somewhere in that range? Whenever I hear Chris Young talk, the competitive nature of him makes me think that he's unsatisfied, dissatisfied with this year, and that all the talk that he had before the season was we're setting the new standard, and these players aren't living up to it. But I do wonder if he has the
chutzpah?
The guts to say, hey, look, I was wrong about a bunch of guys. I got to go through this part of the rodeo. You know, I have to go through this part where I'm gonna have to move on from guys that I love, I care about because they helped us win a World Series. But at the same time, these guys aren't cutting it. And we've done enough studying on what they're doing, why they're doing. We're keeping eyes on what they're doing in the clubhouse, how they're responding. Because Boach says it's not a lack of preparation for it's not a lack of effort, you know, that's all still there, but when they step up to the plate, they aren't producing at all. So I think there is a lot of Chris Young has to look at it and say there's a reality that I didn't do good enough on my second time around to try and defend this title. Because this year, if anything we're talking about when it comes to the finances of the future of this team, that didn't affect this year except for Jordan Montgomery. And Kevin, quite honestly, how did that affect what's happening with the hitting this year?
Yeah.
Other than maybe the spirit of the team not bringing the entire thing back.
And I do – this might be loser talk right here. I think I do give the front office and the ownership in general a pass on the lack of offense, because I don't feel like anybody saw that coming. Not that you thought, like, hey, we're automatically going to be top three, but – I really felt like this was going to be a damn good offense. I feel like there were a lot of statistical trends to lead you into that direction. So I feel like I give them a bit of a pass on the offense, because I don't think people were sitting back going, you just watch.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I thought worst case scenario would be like the 10th best offense.
Sure.
Okay, like, all right. So they didn't repeat as a top five offense in Major League Baseball. Fine, they're 10th.
Yeah.
Not the best, but livable, just a down year. But now you're like, oh my gosh. This is one of the worst offenses in all of baseball. And so now you have to go, how many different players do I need in my lineup next year? And I don't have anybody in the minor leagues, my opinion, that can help me offensively next year. Now, the one guy who hasn't played much this year is Evan Carter. We saw, but so I can add Evan Carter to my lineup, who was out of the lineup since mid-May or early May, whatever, you know, time that he exited the lineup. But I'm like, what else do I do? My opinion is I don't have much in the minor leagues ready to help offensively.
Exactly.
And if I don't have any budget to go get offensive players,
mm-hmm.
I can't add any offense to my team unless they're like, let's just say $3 million, maybe $5 million or less on a 1 to 2 year deal, which, like, I want Carson Kelly back. That might be the one guy that's a free agent that you bring back that's a offensive player. It's not a non-pitcher. Carson Kelly really doesn't do much for you offensively. He's an okay offensive hitter catchers-wise, and he'll bat 7th, 8th, or 9th next year in your lineup. But, gosh, I don't know. I don't know what to do now with this team. Like, this has to be really tough meetings to go, guys, this was bad.
Okay.
If you're Chris Young, you do have the leverage – in the situation of, he knows that you're good at this. You're good enough to convince Boach to get here. But you do also have to wonder, like, this guy's now proven he's shrewd, and he's going to be that way. If I go too far with it, he's going to be like, fine, I'll find anybody to be a GM. I got my World Series. I can be a baseball club. We've done this before, and we can figure out how to do the money thing on our own.
I hope that's not the case. I don't feel like I can totally rule that out. So
I hope it's not the case either.
All right, a couple things. Somebody asked in the fan text, like, has Chris Young been asked about his contract? So just a few days ago on G-Bag, he was asked about it, and he goes, you know me, I'm a low-key, not-seeking-the-spotlight kind of guy. We're hopefully things will work out, blah, blah, blah. So he kind of gave, like, the answer that you would anticipate. But this, I actually like this text. I really do. From the 817. Does CY have all of your families held hostage in his basement? Big decisions. Signing DeGrom, trading for Scherzer, not accumulating assets at the trade deadline were failures. Stop acting like he's the best. The reason why I like that text is because it shows the passion that we talked about needing. That's like a New York or a Boston passion right there. All right. So here's what I would say about a couple of those things. I agree with 1 and 3. Thus far, signing Jacob DeGrom has been an absolute disaster. Like, it will go down as one of the worst signings in baseball history at this point. Accumulating assets at the trade deadline. I also agree that I wish we would have done more of that. However, when the Rangers are defending their title and they're only 3.5 games back, give or take around that time, it's probably tough to sell it all out. The trade for Scherzer, I don't have an issue for that because I don't feel like you gave that much up in it at all. And here's the fundamental thing. We have not even completed a full season since he was the general manager of the first Rangers team to ever win the World Series. That buys plenty of time with me. I understand fans are different. They might be done because this season has been very poor. That buys plenty of time, appreciation, and credit with me. So even if the Rangers, I'm not going to lie, the Rangers can suck next year too. And if CY is back, I'll still be like, I'm glad he's our guy.
Yeah, I think
he has. The way you said that, I was like, oh man, where's he going with this?
I just want to be honest.
Yeah.
Chris Young has a major passion for baseball. And I don't want to say, like, hey, if I'm just taking this other guy's point. If you want to just say it was just pure luck, then fine. You can say it's pure luck. It's tough. It's tough for a franchise that's been around since 1972.
To purely luck into a World Series.
All of a sudden, a guy kind of took over, and I get it. I'm with you. The Jacob DeGrom thing is not good. In fact, I was shocked the other day when he was throwing his bullpen and the ownership was in the bullpen.
Yeah.
I think it goes to show they're like, this is where I'm wondering. Like, are they like, I hate saying this, are they not happy with the Jacob DeGrom signing?
Gotta be, right?
And they're now like, I'm going to go watch him throw a bullpen.
Like, they're going to figure out, here's what's like, happening, Corey. We'll
like, it's
watch.
Not like, I mean, nothing against Ray Davis. It's not like Ray Davis is going to watch him. Oh, his spin rate was good there, and I like the movement. Like, he's not. But he was watching for some reason. I don't know why, but he was watching for some reason. And to me, the only thing that makes sense is he's watching because it's his financial investment in the history of the Texas Rangers per year. I guess Corey Seager makes more over an extended amount of time. But I don't know what Ray Davis is thinking. To me, it just makes me wonder. When you're watching bullpens of Jacob DeGrom before he pitches for Frisco and possibly comes back, I don't know. I don't know where this organization is. I don't know. I think Chris Young wants to come back, but I also think he wants to try to push one more time with Bruce Bochy as the manager. Because most likely, why am I drawing a blank? The guy on the bench, former outfielder, Will Venable. He's going to be the manager in 2026. He's going to be the manager, probably gets a 3-year deal. He turned down offers to interview for managerial jobs after they won the World Series. Why would you do that? If there's only 30 jobs and you just won the World Series and you're the bench coach and you're the top 3 option for almost every organization that's looking for a new manager, and you say, I'm not interviewing with anybody. I don't care the organization. Wouldn't it make sense? You've kind of maybe been promised that you're the next Rangers manager of the Texas Rangers when Bruce Bochy retires.
And you stick around. And you stick around because they're going to act like a top 5 market team, not because they're going to say, you know what, we're going back to being a farm team. Like, that's why you would stick around if that's the case.
And I understand not going into crazy budgets. It's very tough to be the Dodgers. The Dodgers, I think I remember seeing this, they might get $500 million a year off their TV deal. And the Rangers, before Bally's, balked on paying, was at 110.
Okay.
I think they get 500. I think the Yankees get right around $500 million a year for their local TV contract. So I get it. They're clearing $300 to $400 million more dollars just on one thing, the TV contract.
Yeah.
So I don't know where this organization is going. I'm thinking after yesterday, Bruce Bochy wants to come back. I think Chris Young wants to be the general manager, and I think Ray Davis and company want Chris Davis and Bruce Bochy to stick around. But what's the motivation of ownership versus the motivation of, and I'm going to put them in the same category, Chris Young and Bruce Bochy?
I don't know exactly what how to pair those up together, man. I don't know exactly what they want.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Quite a spirited discussion. A lot of feedback. Man, I said this. I don't think this is a bad thing. There are a lot more, I guess, upset or down on CY and the Rangers fans out there than I thought. I think that is an unfair take because I would also argue without the moves for Scherzer and Chapman, you don't even make the playoffs. I wonder about some moves that fell into place because you did make the DeGrom signing, even though I think that was a terrible signing. And I think there are other things to balance this out that you really have to look at. But I appreciate the passion from the Rangers fans out there. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We're live from Specs in Dallas off of North Central Expressway. Now, this next segment is going to be unbelievable. So we move into the expressway. We're going to do some Mike Likes It. We're going to do some NFL over.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Reaction to reality. Plus, we got 3 Specs gift cards.
Oh my gosh.
That they'll be giving away. All of it coming at you next, both on the radio and live right here on 105 Through the Fan.
It's third down. Rodgers throws, going for the deep shot, and delivers a strike to Devontae Adams.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. We're live at Specs off of North Central Expressway in Dallas. What an eventful commercial break that was. By the way, that's why I want to encourage everyone to come out here. Not only are there some Specs gift cards to give away, there's a whiskey tasting. The good people here brought us a handmade maple pecan pie made with Crown Royal.
Legendary pecan pie, by the way.
Legendary
pecan pie. Mike, you're going to love this. I bought one last year. I got a Specs gift card from the company.
Oh.
And it was around Thanksgiving time. And I went in and was getting a bottle of Sagamore Spirit Rye whiskey. And then while I was there, I saw the pecan pie. And I was like, this is a great idea to just have it around. You're going to love it. Kevin, don't just
okay.
Make sure you small slice, all right? Just because it is sweet. It is a sweet.
This is a stupid question, I know. Please
you don't
forgive
want to
me.
Eat the pecans?
Do you get like Never mind. I don't want to ask. Because there's Crown Royal. Okay.
No, you're not going to get drunk.
Anytime, all right. So a lot of,
I'm sorry. I know.
So almost everything that has alcohol in it that is like a baked good or a sauce or whatever, all the alcohol gets cooked out of it.
What?
Okay.
Oh, hold on. Chef Eric's looking at us.
No.
It gets more, my gosh.
If you're making like a vodka sauce, like, and you pour vodka in it, the vodka gets cooked out, the flames and everything.
All right, we're going to have to pick this conversation up. I am very concerned.
Kevin, you're not going to get drunk eating the Crown Royal.
That's all I needed to know. And then the wine cooks out, like the alcohol part of it.
And then also, we had...
You're going to get drunk then, I guess.
We had one of the owners from that Grandy's that was in Garland come by.
Dwight.
That is outstanding.
Dwight, the Garland...
Yes, the Grandy's.
Yeah.
That's right. Right now, though, are you guys ready?
Heck no. I like all this random talk.
Corey, are you ready for some NFL overreaction or reality?
I absolutely am, man.
All right.
Let me text back one of these Tolos real quick, and then I'll pay attention.
No, because I was going to say.
Ready.
All right, Alec, this question is just for you.
Let's go.
Not for me. Wow.
NFL overreaction or reality. Corey and Mike will both make it through this segment totally focused.
I'm going to say that is going to be an overreaction, Kevin Hagelin.
That is what I'm afraid of as well. So here we go. Overreaction or reality. The Falcons made a dumb decision to just sit Michael Penix for the rest of the preseason.
Man, that is... overreaction to me.
Okay.
Because they look at Michael Penix as a 3-year project. I know he's like 34 or something like that.
He's not that old. Yeah,
but like they look at him as a project over time that they think is ready. They were looking at Heinicke. They think they can trade him. And they're like, hey, nobody's seen this Heinicke kid throw a football before. Let's try and see if somebody – that's what they're thinking. So that's what I think is their main goal right now is trying to say who needs a quarterback and will give us a pick for this guy. They know what they have in Penix. They think he's ready. But I understand you want him to get as many NFL reps as he possibly can.
Yeah.
But he's going to be behind Kirk Cousins for quite some time.
I'm distracted because I don't know if Child Services is going to call on me now.
Oh, no. Because you've been serving your kids alcohol?
You just learn?
I've been making shrimp scampi, and I put in a cup of white wine into it to give it better flavor, but not all the alcohol is cooked out of it. It just matters how long you cook it and all kinds of different
things. So your kids could be buzzing after that?
You're trying to reduce it, right? You're trying to reduce it.
So I've been serving my kids alcohol for years now.
Overreaction or reality, CPS will come visit the Bassets in the next 48
hours. That's an overreaction.
When I cook beef stew, which I make a great beef stew, I put red wine in it.
Uh-huh, yeah. Well, Mike, you know what? They're going to sleep. That's really all that matters. Dinner time, they go to bed, and they're waking up. They're not hungover or anything. It's just a little bit. It's like, just a little bit to put them out.
So
his wife's a doctor.
So you're essentially cooking but saying put whiskey on the gums and, just pop them to sleep?
Hey.
I don't know.
I'm not saying it out loud.
Hey, Alec, guess what?
I think if your wife drinks a lot, I think her breast milk has alcohol in it.
That is true. I think it's there's a couple of hours that it stays in the system, so that is a true thing.
Well, Alec, this is the fastest return time ever for an overreaction or reality. It took one question for you to be proven correct.
I'm gonna be rich.
That both Corey and Mike would not be kept totally focused.
To go to Vegas, man.
For NFL overreaction.
Yeah, so that Sagamore reality. You get a little taste and
man,
you get off topic, baby.
I had no idea the pie we got here at Specs would turn out to be so controversial.
I love it.
All right, NFL overreaction or reality. Aaron Rodgers is going to win Comeback Player of the Year. Now, some of the top...
Who are the other options?
Okay, Joe Burrow, Aaron Rodgers, Cousins, Richardson, Nick Chubb, Daniel Jones. I feel like those are probably some of the folks in contention.
I like Chubb for that.
That was on purpose.
I also... I think that the team around Aaron Rodgers is fantastic. And
sure.
like Garrett Wilson's one of the top receivers on every fantasy draft right now. So I think that Aaron Rodgers' numbers are going to look good if he plays the whole season. Listen, man, 2 years ago I had him as my fantasy quarterback, and I watched and I was like, that's not the same Aaron Rodgers I've been watching for the last 4 years as my fantasy quarterback.
Sure.
And so I know that there's this – broken down, washed idea on him. I still think that's part of it, but I know that, that team is very good around him, so the numbers are going to be very good.
Speaking of numbers and speaking of our show,
no.
Does anybody remember the first segment? What about number 15?
Zeke?
Comeback player of the year.
Okay.
That's what some people think, not me at all.
Did they not take that you have to be injured, not just stink element out? Didn't they take that?
I think they did, actually. I do remember they redefined that award in the offseason. So I guess that means Zeke Elliott would be not eligible, but that's the only reason he wouldn't win then, right?
Aaron Rodgers is going – the people are going to want to vote for him.
Sure.
Does that make sense? You don't – nothing against –
okay.
Nothing against a random dude who blew out his knee in week two.
Hold on. Okay,
nothing about Trayvon Diggs.
Okay.
Like Trayvon Diggs isn't. It's not a big name, but not nearly as big as Aaron Rodgers, future Hall of Famer.
Let me ask you how you feel, because I totally understand your point. Were you surprised at all last year then that the way this award played out? Because all year the thought was that DeMar Hamlin was going to win the award. And he felt like, I realized why, but he felt like a huge name in people's consciousness. And then he lost to Joe Flacco.
Mm-hmm.
Does that...
Who was not coming back off injury. He was just
coming off of being bad.
Being old.
That was a horrible award last year. Joe Flacco?
Yeah, dude. Hey, dude, they remember Cleveland was good. They were really good.
Oh, I know.
And then they stunk it up
in
the
playoffs. Won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I remember. I have like six of his rookie cards I forgot to put on eBay last year.
All right.
Oh, that was the Super Bowl with the Ravens, right? Yeah.
Yes. NFL overreaction or reality. The Patriots will have fewer than 4.5 wins this season. Because there's a lot of people who think... yeah, this Patriots team is not going to be good.
Kevin, coming up in the C block, I have had ChatGPT predict all the outcomes.
Oh, no.
So we'll do that in just a little bit. But
can you tell us your opinion then, not ChatGPT?
Well, let's look at their schedule real quick. They can beat the Commanders. That's a preseason game, Kevin. I think they can beat the Seahawks. And I think that they can beat, the Jaguars. So that's two right there. I think they can beat Tennessee. That's three. And I think they can beat Arizona. And I also think they can beat the Colts. That's five. I'll give them five wins this year.
Okay, so they can do it.
Do you think Jacksonville will be worse than 9-8?
No, I think that's kind of in that range.
Okay.
But I think this is one of those where they're going to be a bad team. I do think they're going to be a bad team, but I think that they are going to be able to catch somebody off guard a few times this year. And I think they'll be a competitive defense as well. I just don't know about their quarterback play.
Do you over-under 4.5 for the Patriots?
I'll go 4-13. Somehow, even the worst teams seem to win four.
Yeah. But that's still an under. Overreaction or reality, you will take a player early in your fantasy football draft that then suffers a major injury.
Ooh. That's a reality for a lot of people.
I feel like maybe it's just I hear those complaints all the time.
Yeah. 2015, I ended. I quit. I took Tony Romo and Dez Bryant, and they both got hurt, and I'm like, I'm done. I'm not doing fantasy football where I have to keep – because then I found out about DraftKings. I found out about FanDuel.
You like the daily,
And I was like, wait, I don't have to be stuck with Tony Romo and Dez Bryant, who both missed the majority of the season, so I'm just getting hammered every week.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I'm good. I don't need to do this anymore.
Kevin, it's not most likely because there's a lot of people out there that are going to have that one guy.
Yeah.
So there's usually what it is that one dude that has the bad break that his first round draft pick gets injured. It's usually that one guy. So I'm going to say that that's an overreaction because not everybody's going to experience it. But whenever
we will just hear from the people who do.
Yeah, and when it happens to that one guy, everybody piles on him and starts trying to trade him for his good players because he's so broken and disheartened by it all.
NFL overreaction or reality. Daniel Jones, not because of injury, will lose his starting spot at some point this season.
Mm.
Like, not because he got hurt.
Who's their backup?
To Tommy DeVito?
There's another one in between.
Mm.
Let me ask you this. They are 3-9 after 12 games.
Yep.
Do you switch to
Drew Locke?
Drew Lock. There you go.
Dude, I just don't know.
I kind of want to keep losing.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I'm like, if I keep Daniel Jones in, it's an automatic L.
So you don't want to make a switch for fear that your team might get better.
I wonder how much a general manager, if their job's secure, is like, I need the first or second pick. I don't need to put in Drew Lock and him go 2-2 in the next four games.
Yeah.
I'm competing with the Patriots here for the number one pick.
Now, that being said, Dable's got – he's in that situation now where his job could be on the line. Like, that could be – that could definitely be a thing that could change some of his decision-making, because if he – if it's not working with Daniel Jones, he can leave. You know, he can be like, look, I can be done with you and move on. I got to win some football games. But I just don't think he has any other guys that put him in the better position for it.
NFL overreaction or reality, even with all the moves they made, the Steelers are still screwed at quarterback.
Yep.
It looks like it, man.
It really does.
And I think they should have known.
I hope Fields works out, but it doesn't look good.
The thing, I guess, with Russell Wilson, if you're buying on Russell Wilson, you're buying the idea that Sean Payton didn't give him a chance last year.
Yeah.
That Sean Payton didn't really want him. And was like, okay, we're moving on from this guy already, and didn't really give him a good shot at being the best quarterback he could be. So, you know what? Change of scenery, he'll be good here. Like, that's what you're kind of banking on if you go and get him. With the Justin Fields thing, it is change of scenery, but you got to reconfigure the kid. You got to go in and help him become a quarterback and see the field like a quarterback sees it. So this is less about that and more about growing and developing the quarterback at that spot.
Now, NFL overreaction or reality, I think I know what direction you're going to go here, Corey, but maybe I'll be off. The Broncos will not win more than six games this season.
I think that's an overreaction.
Okay.
I think they're going to win seven at least.
Okay. Hey, yeah. That's an over.
And be competitive in that division. I haven't even looked at their schedule this year to see, you know, how it looks or anything, but
I think two free wins.
I think that they're going to be
Raiders.
Oh, yeah. And you know they're going to eke one out against the Chargers. And didn't they get one against Kansas City last year too? Like, they played Kansas City pretty competitively last year.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure held them pretty low on the score. But yeah, man, I can look at look. I think that they can definitely win seven or eight games.
How much has that been influenced in the last couple of weeks?
Absolutely,
because of the Bo Nix.
Absolutely has.
Okay.
I mean, him being good and competitive, Zach Wilson's numbers have actually been pretty good. So,
is that right?
Yeah.
I have to admit, I have not been locked in on that.
That tells me that Sean Payton still got that thing, just didn't love his quarterback and Russell Wilson last year.
Okay, Mike, what say you? Are you tallying up the record right now?
I'm tallying up something for Mike Leitzit.
Okay, will the Broncos, the overreaction to reality,
I don't think
the Broncos will win more than six games?
Right at six.
Okay, so that is a reality. All right, last one for you. NFL overreaction or reality, the Chiefs will three-peat.
I mean, the easy thing is to say no, because 31 other teams are competing.
Sure.
I know you can eliminate a dozen already, that like the Broncos and the Raiders. Like, they're done. But reality is probably not. But if anybody's going to do it, it's Patrick Mahomes.
Dude, you know, I was going to say injury. They've been a relatively healthy team. But then Patrick Mahomes did it on one leg 2 years ago.
Sure.
And then he does it again last year with not even having talent on the in his receiver spot. And now, you know, Rashee Rice is becoming one of those that everybody's like, hold on, is this a guy that we need to keep a radar on?
We still haven't heard anything about that either.
And then add on to that, you're looking at adding Xavier Worthy and that connection that's working. And he always has Travis Kelce there. And Andy Reid's a damn good coach. So they are going to be in the conversation at the end of the season for sure. And when it comes down to a one game against him, you can't bet against Patrick Mahomes. He figures out ways to win it. Their defense was phenomenal last year.
How about that D, baby?
Yeah. How about that D? They were phenomenal last year. That kept them in games. But having Patrick Mahomes at the helm is the thing that balances that out, and because you know points are going to get scored if you just give them a chance. It's kind of like the Rangers. The pitchers are just giving us a chance. The hitters just can't do it.
I want to give everybody a heads up in case you're a high school football fan or just want to go check out the Star. North Crowley and Lancaster are going to play at 2 o'clock August 31st at the Ford Star Center as part of the fourth annual Jerry Jones Classic brought to you by Whataburger. So maybe you're just in the area. Maybe you just want to go to the Ford Center. Maybe you love high school football. That's how it's going down August 31st. Now, how about some Mike Likes It Live from Spix?
All right. I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I have three choices.
Okay.
Corey and Kevin, I have football or furniture or baseball.
I mean, I feel like furniture is the way to go on this. Yeah.
Okay, furniture to start off. Don't worry, I'll get back to
like
sports.
Like desks or
you
couches.
Gotta wait,
all right. So here's the deal. I've kind of started looking at furniture because our kids' furniture is crap.
Okay.
It is what it is.
Is it because you give them too much alcohol and they break?
Yeah, they're probably drunk. It's hand-me-down furniture.
Okay,
it's
mixed
match.
Gotcha.
It doesn't really matter. Like, it's their room type deal. It's not that, like, a lot of people go up there, but when you go in there, sometimes you're like, golly, we got a load of crap in here for furniture. When was the last time you shopped for furniture? It is impossibly expensive.
It was.
What in the world?
We moved into our new house at the beginning of 2020. And so then.
Like a bedroom set.
Yeah.
Hey, a decent bedroom set. Hey, you want to spend $2,000? No, I don't. I just want decent furniture. What the crap? Mm-hmm.
But is your definition and your wife's definition of decent different? Because we definitely ended up spending more because my wife's like, no, that's not good enough.
Let me tell you something. My wife's the cheapo.
Is she?
Yeah.
That's me.
Yeah. I mean, I'm like, this is a file cabinet from an office. Yeah, it works as a nightstand. I'm like, okay.
You just spray paint it.
It actually does. But it's, you know, and then there's another one that I'm like, I know that. That's from when we got married in 2000.
Yeah.
In 2001, we bought that nightstand. It is trashed out beyond belief. But it's next to my 14-year-old kids. And I'm just like, and it doesn't match there's nothing matching. Nothing makes any sense in any of the rooms
from the
if you
one,
go in there.
From the 214, somebody please tell Mike that I make custom furniture for a living.
Dude.
You might want to reach out to them.
Dude, I need this. So this is what's random. Now I'm going to ask you guys this question off of furniture. I randomly type in like restored furniture or whatever into YouTube, and now I'm watching these people buy these $25 like nightstands from thrift stores or whatever, but they know that it's decent, and they know that they can do all it takes.
You want to start doing this, don't you?
I kind of do.
I knew it.
I just sit there and I watch, but it does take, I mean, they do a lot. It takes a lot of time to restore, but they'll take furniture. This lady from like 19, well, she's not from 1931, but this lady got this furniture that when she took the mirror off of it, she's like, a lot of these things, when they're kind of during the Depression era, they'll actually be stamped on the back and it'll tell you what year it's from. And she did. She's like, there it is. It's 1931, this piece of furniture. And she restored it to just, it was beautiful. It was amazing. And I was like, this is just like, I don't know. I just sit there and I just watch and I see them just take care of this furniture and then turn it into something beautiful.
It's very satisfying.
Yeah, I don't know. Is there something that you guys see? You're talking about video games. I don't do video games. Is there anything that maybe you get on YouTube, like you don't think you have much interest in, and then you're just watching it and you're just like, I can't stop watching this.
Digging holes. Digging pools up and stuff. I love to watch
like
those.
Like making a pool hole?
Yeah,
okay.
Like as people start to dig holes to create the pool, the art of making the pool setup is when Sean was posting all those pictures of this stuff, I was totally into that. But my dad restores furniture. This is one of the things that he does.
Oh, okay.
He should
train you.
And shouldn't Albert get into this?
Who's Albert?
Like the name of his company, Albert Pool Holes.
Yes,
it's a good one. I mean, the guy has 700 home runs. He can start his own pool company.
Here's where I was thinking when you said that. I was thinking, does he mean Fat
like,
Albert? Because
Albert
broke his furniture.
I added an extra L in there because Sandler makes fun of me all the time, but I don't like saying his last name the way it's supposed to be said.
Okay, now Mike, my version of this on YouTube is.
Okay.
I honestly think. I could build a freaking awesome, like, marble maze and contraption because Noah loves watching these intricate marble movies now, or like YouTube videos where you see all the marbles going down, up and down, all these different chutes and everything. I watch it and I'm like, I think I could make one.
Not, like a 2 foot by 1 foot thing where you're making
No. Like, it'll like go up and down these hills. It'll go down tubes.
And there's like a dozen of them.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, okay. Absolutely. And it looks amazing. I have definitely thought.
Do you have yard space to
yes,
do it?
Yes. Yeah, we have plenty of yard space.
You just have to take out the grass?
Yeah.
Or put in some new dirt. Yeah.
Yeah, or just put it on like a platform.
Or build a big old mound of dirt in your backyard and start digging little roads, little dirt roads, dude.
Or pool
for the marble,
holes.
Yeah, or pool holes. As
I really want to see what the feedback was to that all right. joke.
Was that all the furniture talk you had, Mike?
Yeah, I just wonder. Is there anything you said
from the 817? Hold on. From the 817. That was Mike's best joke ever, hands down. From the 817, LMAO. From the 469, I loved that one.
Really?
Oh, my gosh.
From the 817, KMC is the best show on the station. Keep it up.
Are you sure?
Because of that joke or before the joke?
I don't know.
I don't know exactly when that came in.
Okay. Next, football or baseball?
What do you think? Just real quick. I'm sorry. What do you think of the odds that you will like get into furniture restoration?
Almost 0%, but when my kids were very young, I went and bought some cedar chests.
Okay.
And then I sanded them and painted them, and then I glued cards on them, and then put the like what you'd see at like a bar where you lacquer the top of it with like stuff you get from whatever MJ Designs, Hobby Lobby or whatever. Didn't do that great of a job. But it was good for a kid's room or whatever. It was good. So I've done stuff like that. I really liked it. I like doing it, but it would be considered poor work. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like if you were judging it, you'd be like, that's not like, there's a little bit of rustic in it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying.
Check out my dad's stuff, dude. It's fantastic.
My
work.
Dad's stuff.
Yeah. I'll send you some stuff.
That's the guy who does.
We'll have. No, it's my father. My father.
You had to know that.
Yeah.
I thought for real, like there's a person who started off of mydadstuff.com or something.
We've donated a couple of his cutting boards to Peace-a-thon for this year. By the way, Mike, Ken Rosenthal tweets that the sources are saying the Mariners are expected to fire Scott Cervais, and
I've heard
and name Dan Wilson the manager
today.
That's where they are right now.
I heard if they don't make the playoffs, that this is Cervais is done.
So yeah,
wow.
Like through the grapevine at the ballpark.
Yes,
but I didn't know. That's why I was like, oh, is it happening now? Are they like, screw it, we're doing it now to see if we can make a run at the playoffs because we don't believe he can do it.
The official announcement is expected today.
Ooh,
so that
Thunder
is that's
Dan
from
Wilson.
Rosenthal.
It's not
catcher Dan Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
just because his name's Dan.
Tom Hanks Wilson. Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, that
oh
works.
My God. That was my fault. I'm sorry, Mike.
But his name's Dan Wilson. How does Tom Hanks work in there?
That's from the movie Castaway, where he had the ball and its name was Wilson.
Yeah, because of his bloody hand. All right, football or baseball?
Hey,
please, baseball.
I just want to remind everyone, whenever we do Fan Phenom again, and you might be like, I don't know if I got what it takes. You probably do. So you should try out.
Okay, you guys said baseball, right?
Yes.
All right. I find this interesting. Corey Seager, pretty much our only offense for the three-game series. We scored one run in the bottom of the ninth. Besides Corey Seager, we'd had zero runs for the whole series, pretty much.
Mm.
All right. He is right now second in home runs for shortstops. I was going to say in the American League, but I'm including everybody here. A little bit of trivia, fun trivia for you. Do you know the two players right now that are shortstops that have 25 home runs and 25 stolen bases?
Ellie De La Cruz?
He has at least 20 home runs.
He has 22 home runs.
Okay.
And he has 60 stolen bases.
Okay, so he's up there with the stolen
bases. He's close. He will be a 25. Obviously, he'll be a 25 guy on this. He will probably get to 30-30, but he'll get more like 30-80.
Is Gunnar Henderson?
Gunnar Henderson only has 15 stolen bases.
Bobby Witt Jr.
Bobby Witt Jr. has 25 home runs and 25 stolen bases.
Oh, really? 25?
Yeah.
I figured he'd have more stolen bases.
He got thrown out a lot last year. He had 49 stolen bases, but his percentage wasn't great. And so I'd have to check his percentage. I think his percentage has got better as he's got less risky.
Less risky. Okay.
And there's one other guy.
I'm trying to think of who's at the top with stolen bases.
It's Francisco Lindor.
Man, I was thinking.
Is he making an MVP bid right now?
I won't say MVP bid, but he is kind of. It's really weird. He went to New York and, in a way, got a little less popular. But he's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Shohei has almost 40 stolen bases
this year. He's 35. He's going to be a. He might. God. The thing is you asked that the other day. He might be a 50-50. He might. Yeah. He's probably going to fall short, but he has a chance to be a 50-50 guy for the first time in baseball history. Now, here's where I was going to go with the baseball with Corey Seager. He's second in home runs at 28. Gunnar Henderson has 33. I've brought this up before, but I want to talk about this again. This is shocking to me. And last year, Corey Seager led the American League in doubles with 42. He might have led all of baseball, but I know for sure he led the American League. He has 16 doubles this year. Yikes. He's part of the reason the Rangers are last in doubles. He's not obviously the only reason. Everybody's the reason that they're last in doubles. But when I start going to the other players, is I go to the top 10 guys home run wise at shortstop. So it goes from 18 home runs to 33 home runs, which is really good. At shortstop, you're going to have you're going to have 11 guys easily get 20 or more home runs. But Gunnar Henderson has 29 extra base hits, not including homers. Francisco Lindor, 33. Bobby Witt Jr., 49. And remember, these aren't including homers. Willy Adames, 28. Cruz, who we just saw, or sorry, Ellie De La Cruz has 36. By the way, the other Cruz has 29. The only other guy that is close to it is Paul DeJong, who has 21 homers and 16 doubles and no triples. And obviously, Corey Seager has no triples. He's never even going to try for a triple. I don't get this year why he can't hit doubles. Does that, like, it's either a home run, it's a hit, or it's nothing.
That is,
he's not having
concerning.
A bad year. I'm not saying he's having a bad year. Corey Seager overall is having a very good year. There's a lot of stats that say offensively he's the third best. You can argue, but you could say he's the third best offensive shortstop in the game. Gunnar Henderson and Bobby Witt Jr. blow him out of the water. It's not even close. But then you start having conversations about Lindor or Ellie De La Cruz, with offense. But I don't get why he is so low at hitting doubles this year.
He doesn't always hit good pitches. Because he goes up to the plate swinging at first pitch, because he thinks that that's probably going to be one of their, everybody's trying to get ahead of Corey Seager, so they're going to go up there and try and give him a good pitch. But there's not always quality pitches to drive. And a lot of times you'll see him hit the top of one or pop one up. But, I mean, he hits the ball hard when he hits. But I think, Mike, one of the things is, like, Nelson Cruz, Wash would always say Nelson Cruz is at his best whenever he's driving doubles into the gaps. And that was because Nelson Cruz would work to the right count for him to get those opportunities. I think a lot of times Corey Seager hits a bad pitch, and he'll still hit it hard. He still hits the crap out of it, but he doesn't necessarily drive it into the places where it's an empty place for him to get a double, and he's also not fast. He's not a fast guy. He's one of those guys that you really don't even want turning first base and going for two, because he's probably going to pull a hamstring on you.
So you know where he'd be leading the league in home runs if he had a different position?
Where?
First base. He'd be a league leader in home runs at first base, Kevin.
And the other thing, too, is Gunnar Henderson, Francisco Lindor, Bobby Witt Jr., O'Neill Cruz, Nelson Cruz, Tovar for Colorado. These are premium defensive shortstops. Yeah. And so I'm just looking at it, and I keep going, he'd have more home runs than Pete Alonso, more home runs than Bryce Harper, more home runs than Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Now, there's certain guys that have, obviously, their OPS is better overall, but he would be top five in OPS. He would be the best home run hitter at first base. He wouldn't be as far down in doubles. And guess what? First basemen don't hit triples.
So fit.
I think that there is, in this offseason, I don't know, but I do think there should be a conversation about if we're letting go of Nate Lowe, what's the thought process in moving Corey Seager to first base?
What's going to be needed for that conversation to, like, actually go in that direction? Like, are you going to need a Corey Seager sign-off, or are you like, hey, I hear you, but we're making the decisions?
Ultimately, he's under contract, and he has to, in a way, he has to do what you say.
Yeah.
I mean, I was there when Alfonso Soriano did not go out to left field for us in spring training,
yeah.
and we played with eight players, not for a pitch. The umpire called time and was like, you have to have a left fielder.
Yeah.
And Frank Robinson sent out a left fielder, but he wanted to make sure everybody knew that the left fielder for this game was Alfonso Soriano. He refused to go out there, and I wanted to make sure everybody knew about it. And then a couple days later, Alfonso Soriano gave in, played left field, 40-40, and made a lot more money.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan, live from Specs in Dallas off of North Central Expressway. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
All right, guys, it's us against technology and ChatGPT in the next segment. Plus, Adrian said something the other night that made me go, uh-oh, next on the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.